I'm going to pray and we get right into our class. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your goodness, for your mercy. Thank you for every person that is represented in this room and their families. Holy Spirit, you're the only one that can escort us properly into the supernatural. Thank you for opening up your word so that we can understand you better, God. Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross, again, as always, and preparing the way for us to be in the supernatural, making us to be the righteousness of God. We give you all the honor, all the glory, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Last week, we started on chapter 7 with a definition of covenant. I'm aiming to really make sure we go over this chapter in clarity, because if I don't, and if we don't grab this concept, the rest of this book is going to be confusing to us. There's some things in this 7th chapter that's, I hope you had a chance to read some of it. There's some things in this 7th chapter that I hope you're listening by internet that are going to establish some groundwork for covenant. As I stated before, and I can't say this enough, we have to reintroduce ourselves to the true meaning of covenant. And we have no problem with our covenant, or we have no problem understanding our covenant with God, but we have issue understanding our covenant with each other. And our covenant with each other, oh, Holy Spirit, help me bring that scripture. Matthew's, I want to say the 27th chapter, I think it is. If that's not it, no, it's not the 27th chapter. Matthew's, where it talks about the greatest commandment. The greatest commandment. Matthew's what? Y'all help me out. Because it's something that I want you to see. I think it's Matthew's. Love the Lord thy God with all our heart, all our soul. Matthew's what? 22nd? 22 and 37? That is it. I need you to go there. Go with me to Matthew, the 22nd chapter, 37th verse. Because this is, we understand covenant with God, but we don't really grasp an understanding of covenant with each other. And this scripture is going to let you understand, thank you, Holy Spirit, for bringing this up, let you understand how important covenant is with each other. A lot of times we put covenant with God and we want to ignore covenant with each other. All right? You see this? All right, let's watch this. We'll start at verse 35. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, meaning asked Jesus a question. And in Matthew 22 and 35, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, what is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, and with all thy mind. You see this? Verse 38, this is the first and great commandment. Now look at verse 39. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor, how? As thyself. Now watch what verse 40 says. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So not only is our covenant with God important, but our covenant with each other is important. Just as important as our covenant with God. You see, I'm not making this up. This is Jesus saying this. You see this for yourself. How I know it's written in red. He said the second, verse 39, is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So my point for reading that is, we often like to put our covenant with God as a reason to ignore our covenant with each other. Does that make sense? Because watch this. Give you an example. Moses with Aram and Miriam and Aaron. When God spoke to Moses about going in a certain direction, Miriam and Aaron got mad and said, cannot we hear from God also? That wasn't even the issue. Can they hear from God? Moses know they can hear from God, because if it wasn't for Miriam, Moses would have never made it out the Nile. If it wasn't for Aaron, the people of Israel would have never got free. So here it is, Miriam and Aaron trying to use their covenant with God to override their covenant with Moses. Is that making sense? Throughout history, we've had an issue with understanding covenant with each other. And that's the thing that God, listen to me, internet, this is the thing that God stresses the most. God understands that you're going to love him, but he wants to make sure we love each other. Is that making sense? So if we do not understand covenant, if we do not redefine covenant, what I mean by redefine covenant, not so much redefine it, but understand it at a level in which we're willing to walk in that will cause the kingdom of God to be manifested in the earth realm. The kingdom of God, listen to me, the kingdom of God cannot come to fruition until we learn how to walk in covenant with each other. If we don't learn how to walk in covenant, true covenant with each other, in love, then God cannot use us to work together. So we started talking about covenant last week. And there's one statement that I want to pull out the book that I think you need to underline this statement, highlight it, whatever, you got to circle it, put parentheses around this statement. It's on page 60, second paragraph. This is important. A covenant will make alive, quicken the relationship until it bears the fruit of its purpose. I need you to understand this statement. What covenant does? Covenant will quicken any relationship until it bears the fruit of its purpose. Covenant, see, you can be connected to somebody, but if you don't walk in covenant, and we finna explain what that means, what it means to walk in covenant in a few moments. If you do not walk in covenant, it will not make the relationship alive to bring fruit. I want to make sure you understand this. See, if you do not walk in covenant with who you're connected with, then there will be no life to provide fruit. Sometimes, I'm reading directly out the book, same paragraph. Sometimes external representatives are given the authority to keep the process of covenant in its accurate path toward the fulfillment of its purpose. That's called government. You can put a dash by that and write government. See, now you understand, so now you start to understand why there are rules of engagement. We can't just do whatever we want to do. Because if everybody just do whatever they want to do, then that means love could not be exemplified through each other, because we all got selfish motives. So one of the reasons for the rules of engagement is to eliminate selfish motives. Is this making sense? Hopefully we get through all these, and I'm not sure, but we're going to make an attempt to get through the accurate principles of covenant. Go with me to 1 Samuel, the 18th chapter. Now, I need you to see, I think it's seven of them. 1 Samuel 18, seven accurate principles of covenant. Now here's how covenant is going to be defined. You don't have to worry about we read that long definition last week, But don't worry about that long definition. That's just to give you, but we about to break this down. You're going to know step by step what covenant means and how to walk in covenant. Are you getting this? All right. This is very important. This is going to enhance every relationship you're in. This is going to enhance it to a level that you are going to get everything that God has designed for you to have. See, I want you to keep in mind Jeremiah 29:11. God said, I know the thoughts that I've been thinking towards you. Thoughts of peace, not just tranquility, thoughts of wholeness. Nothing missing, nothing broken, not of evil. To give you an expected end. So when God puts you in a place of covenant, in a place of connection, listen to that bit of that. When he places you in a place of connection, in covenant, God already knows that that relationship, that connection is going to cause you to go places he's already planned for you to go. Are you seeing this? So there are going to be seven accurate principles of covenant. 1 Samuel, the 18th chapter, verses 1 through 4. Now it came about when he had finished speaking to Saul that the soul of Jonathan, this is Saul's son, was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him, how? As himself. Saul took him that day. No, watch this. Now all this may gonna make sense. Saul took him that day and did not let him return to his father, meaning he took David and didn't let David go back home. Then Jonathan made a covenant with David why? He loved him as himself. Jonathan stripped himself of the robe. Now, we're going to get to all this. Stripped himself of the robe that was on him and gave it to David with his armor, including his sword, his bow, and his belt. All right? Now, you're going to see in the Bible there is no clearer picture of covenant than Jonathan and David. It says Jonathan was knit to David. Are you seeing this? First accurate principle of covenant. Jonathan and David's hearts were connected through the frequency of the Spirit. The heart of Jonathan was knitted or connected to the soul of David. How did that happen? Notice when we read that just now that when it said when David began to talk to Saul and Jonathan heard it. That's what it said, right? Jonathan heard he became knitted to David. So the first way that a person become connected through the frequency of the Spirit is by hearing the heart of another person. When David spoke, Jonathan heard and recognized this is not a normal person. The hearts of men are connected by word and spirit expression, not just by words, by spirit expression also. So it has to be word and spirit expression, meaning there has to be not only words spoken, but there has to be an unction behind it. This is why you have to have the spirit of discernment, because some people can talk a good game. You got some people in the church that will sit long enough and know exactly what to say to you. But when you're walking in the supernatural and you have the spirit of discernment working on your behalf, you're looking past the words, what they're saying. And you're able to pierce their soul, pierce their heart, and see what they're really talking about. So it has to be not only word, but it has to be spirit expression. Look, Jonathan heard David, but then he heard David. He was able to recognize what Jonathan saw in David. He saw in David that grace that was put on him when he was fighting them lion, that bear. Remember now, David was the same one that saved the sheep when he got the sheep from the bow, we got to see by the line. He that was a grace that God put on David to do that. And so when David spoke to Saul, Jonathan was listening. He heard the words of David. Listen to me now. He heard the words of David, but he also heard the heart of David. See, I hope this making sense to you. See, there are a lot of people, a lot of preachers, a lot of pastors, a lot of people that will say the right thing, know how to put it in the right place, know how to make it sound. But you have got to know how to see behind them words and see what they're really saying. The words that we speak, this is John 6:63. Jesus said, the flesh profit, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So the words that a person speaks to you when you think about, should I come to cover this person? Is this who God would be connected to? They not only got to be speaking words, but their words got to be spirit and they have to have life in them. And see, watch this. Once again, you can have right words with no spirit and no life in them. Your heart must feel the intensity